Chapter 1. The sun was already high in the sky when Cass awoke. Her mouth was tinder dry and her head ached. When she pushed herself upright, it felt as if all the muscles in her body protested, aching as if she had run for miles the day before. She lay there, tensing and untensing her limbs, gently probing how sore they were, watching the dust motes dancing in the light that streamed in through the window, falling on the sheepskin rug that warmed the stone floor. In front of the fireplace, lying where she must have left it last night, though she could not seem to remember coming to bed, was the magnificent sword she had drawn from the stone in the last battle. Cass was not used to sleeping so late. Usually Sigrid would have woken her long before this, with demands for her to help her with her armour or see to her horse. She stared at the closed door that led into her mistress's chambers. No, not her mistress, she realised with a sudden start. Not anymore, for Sigrid had been banished. Now she was a servant without a mistress, a squire without a knight. Cass didn't know whether to be more worried about how she herself was going to cope without Sigrid to guide and train her, or how the sisterhood would cope without Sigrid's fearsome sword in the coming battles. But Sigrid's was not the only powerful sword. Not anymore. Cass stretched her aching limbs and padded softly across the floor to the fireplace, where she knelt on the hearth, examining the sword she had pulled from the stone. Whenever she drew close to it, she had the strangest feeling that it was vibrating or humming, as if there was some invisible energy reaching out from it towards her, calling irresistibly to her. Her fingers seemed to tingle as she stretched them towards it, and as she grasped it, she gasped aloud. There was a warmth, a power that flooded her body, rushing up her arm from where she had held the sword, and then suffusing every part of her, exhilarating her. She felt invincible, as though she could take on any enemy and win any fight. And when she moved to draw the sword experimentally through the air and bring it slashing down first to the left, then to the right, a kind of magic happened. She could not explain it, but the blade was somehow guiding her. It didn't take control or pull her against her will, but seemed to know what she wanted to do before she had realized it herself, leaping to action in perfect unison with her body. The fire in the ruby hilt seemed to leap and flicker, and Cass held it at arm's length for a moment, then relinquished it quickly, laying it back down on the hearth. Without it, she felt cold, her arm heavy and awkward. She was drawn to it, her fingers itched to take it up again, but she backed away, not taking her eyes off the blade, and sat back down on the edge of her straw mattress. Alice's words rang in her ears as she sat there. There is a prophecy, made when I was a child, before the last of the old people had been forced from the forests. A prophecy about a great leader, a light to unite the Britons, a leader who would hold back the darkness, and we would know this leader by the drawing of a sword. Cass shook her head. She felt dazed. There was a slight ringing in her ears. It was preposterous. Arthur was king, and yet her gaze was drawn back magnetically to the sword as she remembered Alice's words. This prophecy was made many years before Arthur's allies chose him as ruler and placed that sword in the churchyard to give their choice the stamp of divine authority. Fate played no hand in what happened that day. Cass balked, her throat constricting as all the protests she had made to Alice leapt to her tongue just as they had before. She remembered the time she had sat in Alice's hut, bunches of herbs and ingredients hanging from the ceiling, evidence of her wisdom all around, and yet Cass couldn't accept what she seemed to see inside her. Yet Alice's words were as relentless as the elderly woman was stubborn, ringing in her head no matter how she tried to clear it. The prophecy did not speak of a king, it spoke only of a leader who would pull a sword from a stone in Gethryn of Northumbria and become the light.